Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
How's everybody doing tonight? We doing good? Who's excited for the Brave Love course? Where are the men out for Men Who Lead? Who are some men that are... All right. We need some more men in this generation that love Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Well, tonight I'm so excited because we're jumping into a new series. And we're going to be talking about friendship the next number of weeks. Everyone go, oh, no, it's not going to be that touchy in Philly. It's going to be for real about friendship. And we've entitled this series this, Who Are You Running With? I don't know how many of you have ever heard this phrase, show me your friends and I will show you your future. And there's a reality that a lot of times when we think about our future, we always think about what we want to be, what we want to accomplish, what we want to do. But we don't often think about who we want to do it with. I think a lot of the times our friends are kind of a reaction to our environment. It's not thoughtful. It's not intentional. Your friends are who you work with. Your friends are who do you go to school with. Your friends are who you could find an apartment with. Your friends are someone random that you met from a friend of a friend of a friend. And you kind of mob up and survive. And if you're lucky, you get into a cool friendship group and you have an active iMessage that has a fun nickname and you're cruising there and everyone shares memes. And then some of you act like you have friends, but you're quite lonely all the time. And some of you come to these gatherings and you dab up and you say, what's up? And you maybe go eat together, but you don't even talk to anyone all week except outside of work. Maybe say hi to someone in your school. And then you come back and dab up and you're living this life with maybe goals of where you want to go, maybe a focus on your relationship with Jesus, but you haven't brought this intention to who are you running with. Like, if you think about this for a moment, friendships really determine the quality of your life. And a lot of us don't actually want to grow and become a better friend until we have crisis. Like, a lot of you are going to be married one day, and when you get married one day, we always encourage our young couples, yo, get some pre-marriage counseling, and then, you know, keep walking with some older, more mature people that have maybe been married for a while so you can learn some of the skills and some of the things you should expect when you get married. And there's always kind of two kinds of people. There are those that are like just stoked and they're ready to learn and they're hungry and they're humble. And then there are these other types that are like, oh no, we're good. We're in love. Like, you don't understand, like, this is something special. This is something, this is what we all pray for. I have found. And all of a sudden, a year later, I don't see them as much around the gatherings. I don't see them as much around the prayer meetings. I don't see them as much at the staff meetings. And they look kind of serious next to each other. And you go, hey, what's going on? Nothing's going on. Everything's going great. You look really serious. Now, I'm just thinking of the Lord, just very serious about him. Really? Like, you smiled 90% of the time, and now you barely smile. What's really going on? And all of a sudden, you get behind all the layers, and what's happening is that their friendship in the marriage is breaking down. And you go, like, dude, you need some help. You need some counseling. You need some wise counsel. You need to engage other people. And they all of a sudden just feel so bad that they need help for someone to teach them how to be a better friend. And crisis forces them to learn how to be a good friend. Here's my passion for you, that crisis would not be your teacher. My prayer for you is that it wouldn't be you're asking for help how to be a better friend when your friendship is literally in nuclear meltdown mode. My passion for you is not that you would get married one day and that you would kind of ignore every red flag possible, not work on your friendship, not work on yourself and go, you know what? I got to learn some skills how to be a better friend now because everything's not working out. And even more than that is I want you to have a passion, intentionality to go, you know what? Who am I supposed to be running with? Who are the divine relationships in my life? Who are the people that God has called me to that I need to serve in season and out of season? Because, man, there is nothing like having a thriving, healthy friendship running after Jesus and the mission of Jesus. I was thinking about this morning on our, talking to all of our staff on our Zoom, and I was thinking about how long I've gotten to run with some of my best friends. More than a decade now. I got friends now who look at me and they know what I am thinking before I say it. Do you have friends like that? Yep. How many of you get nervous in a social setting because you know your friend's about to pop off? Like, how many of you have a friend that is so loyal that if someone disrespects the friend group, you're just like, there's nothing we can do. I'm sorry for you. He's going to do something. I don't know what that is. How many of you have a friend that you know what they're going to do after 11 o'clock at night? They get that giggle and you're like, all right, here we go. This is not a normal giggle. This is now we're just going to laugh about nothing. And someone's like, toothbrush. That's so funny. You're like, what is going on right now? And these are all the joys of friendship. These are all the epic parts of friendship. And my desire for you is not that Gen Z would not be known as the lonely generation, but that all of you would go, dude, I have so many fulfilling, rich friendships in my life that are pushing me closer to Jesus and that I'm running with to spread the gospel everywhere I run. I had a friend share this verse with me, and this is kind of what inspired us to get into this talk, and it's 2 Corinthians 2:12 through 13. It says, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. And I was thinking and pondering on this verse. Like, here, Paul is having a huge success. Like, the mission of his life is to see new churches planted in these big cities, and Troas is this big city. So everything on paper is going good. And he's going, you know what? I got to actually pause and I got to go find my buddy Titus. Well, what's happening in the background here is that Paul has just sent like a crazy rebuke letter to the Corinthians. And his buddy Titus had sent, he sent the letter with Titus to go give it to the Corinthians. And he's in this other cities and he's worried about how all of his friends in Corinth are going to receive this rebuke. And it literally, what the Greek is saying, he's like not at peace until he can be with his friend and find out if his relationships are good. And I was thinking about this, like, here we have Paul the apostle, the guy who's pioneering the church, the guy who's literally going from city, been beaten, shipwrecked, flogged, put in prison, persecuted, and he's just like me and you. He has relational tension and he's bothered. He has everything he wants on paper, but he's got relational tension in his life and he's bothered. We are all way more interconnected than we would like to believe. How many of you have beef with one friend? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. This is not an altar call. You got beef with one friend, and you may be having a great day on paper, but all you can think about is beef with that friend. How many of you have tension with someone right now, and it's not resolved? It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be somebody. And everything technically is going good in your life, but literally nothing is going good in your life because that is not resolved. I was talking with someone and their mom sent them a text. Kind of like, you know, a little bit of a beat down, like, yo, get your life together. And I'm talking to this grown man. He looks at me, he goes, isn't it crazy? I'm a grown man and I'm still bothered when my mom sends me a text to do better. Like, what is it about all of us that our relationships actually are so important to our life that if they're not right, our life is not right? See, the thing that's crazy about this is Paul, when he was traveling all throughout the New Testament, planting church after church after church, the New Testament literally talks about that he has at least 73 companions. So everywhere he went, he was bringing someone with him. Whether it was a young buck or someone that was more experienced or someone that was a veteran like himself or an older mentor, he always had somebody with him. And you think about Jesus, he was sending them out two by two and he had 12 disciples and then three guys that he was pouring into even more intensely. Like, everything about our faith is actually not just about you and God. It's about you and God and all of us and God. Like, Christianity is not an individualized faith. It's a communal faith. It has an individual element, but it also has this community element. The Bible tells us straight from the very beginning of the book of Genesis that it's not good that man would be alone. That's why some of you be making up problems when you're alone too long. Anyone else like literally have meltdowns, crash outs? And really what's happening is you just need to talk to a human. You're literally like, why am I in college? Why am I becoming a nurse? Maybe I'm helping people because it's a coping mechanism. I need to feel important. Oh my word, chat. Is this from trauma? Do I want to be a nurse because I'm trying to fix everyone because I have trauma I'm trying to fix in me? And then you know how like chat always like tells you you're a genius? Genius insight about yourself. Yes, it is possible that you are making a... And all of a sudden you're like, what? What am I going to do? I quit. I don't know. And then you talk to your friend. You're at In-N-Out. And you're like, just having a normal conversation. You're like, no, I love being a nurse. This is enjoyable. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. I actually do like helping people. It's not good for us to be alone. There's a classic song. I heard this one pastor kind of makes fun of it. And he's like, all I need is you, God. The truth is God is not all you need. Because God actually designs you to need other people. So this lone wolf Christianity of you and Jesus running to the end doesn't work. We have to have people that we are running with together. Now Proverbs gives us some straight medicine right here. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fool suffers harm. Who you run with matters. If they're a godly person, your life is going to be epic. If they're a biblical fool, meaning everything in their life is not under the lordship of Jesus, they don't really want to follow him, they're messing around, they're one foot in and one foot out, they have a lukewarm relationship with God. What the scripture says, man, is if these are the people you're running with, you're going to suffer harm. I'm always surprised, like someone's like, hey, I can't believe all these people turned on me. And I'm like, well, did you see who you were running with? Like, what about clubbing together at 1 a.m. in L.A. made you think that these people are going to be your ride or dies for life? Like the guy you're talking about that's DMing two girls at the same time. Well, you guys all make these noises and act like, do you think I'm like, don't understand what's happening? Like what, like, is this like judgment towards millennials? Like, do you not know that I know? And then you're wondering why your buddy turns on you and isn't there for you. Well, he's displayed no loyalty in any area of his life. You're running with someone foolish and therefore foolish thing keeps happening and you get harmed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I don't care who you are. You're like, I'm a missionary. Amen. That's awesome. But I'll tell you this, I am a full-time missionary. But my core group of people I have to be around have to have good character. So when I step outside of that, I'm not changed when I go into the world. But if your inner circle is the world and you have no friendships that are running after Jesus, I want to tell you that most likely, and I really have not seen it not happen, is you are going to be corrupted. And not in a minute, it's little compromises over time. When all of a sudden you're just like, well, it's just a little weed. Man, this is way too honest. Gosh. I mean, this movie, just a little bit of nudity in the movie. Like, I'll just kind of look down. All right. Next time I'll do better. Or like, you know, like some people code switch. It's funny. It happens to me. A buddy will be talking to me and he'll just start cussing. And from the, my bad. And then he'll start trying to use like hyper-Christian language with me. I'm like, what is going on? Like, you're not making up for anything right now with like trying to like use thee and thy and them. Like, Just don't try to hide who you are. And I think there's this reality that you got to realize that who your friends are matters. Who you hang around matters. If all your friends are apathetic and have no passion for life, and you wonder why you have anxiety and are depressed, well, I would go, dude, if you got no purpose, high chance of high anxiety and depression. If all of your friends literally never take the word seriously, have no interest in growing, and you walk around kind of confused on what your purpose in life, well, it makes sense who you're spending time with. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this. Paul is speaking to a younger Timothy, a leader that he's raising up. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here's who you want to run with. People who are running after Jesus, not just as their Savior, but as their Lord. Not just somebody who's going like, I got a cross, Jesus saved me, only God can judge me. That's like classic California Christianity. Right? Do we all see it? Now, I'm not saying judge them, make a YouTube video against them, make it your job to call all of them out, start texting them, making fun of them. But what I am saying is you should be wise if that's who you're running with every day. Who you want to run with are guys or girls who are running after Jesus, who is their leader over their whole life, who have a pure heart. Meaning that they have a desire to be like Jesus. They don't just want to follow God and do stuff. They want to be like Jesus. And when you find somebody whose desire is to run after him and who has a pure heart, dude, if you find a friend who's willing to repent to you, oh man, that's a friendship worth keeping. You get a call at 11 o'clock at night and like, yo, I went crazy today. No excuses. That was so bad. I'm so sorry. Dude, that's the kind of friendship we all are desiring. That's the kind of friendship all of us are hoping for. So who are you running with? Who are the people around you? And what are you running after? I love that Paul is just like, this is what I'm running after. He goes, my ambition is to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. He's like, I want to go places that there is no gospel presence. That's where I'm headed. And a few verses later, the guys he's talking to is like, hey, and I plan to go to Spain, and I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there. You want people who are running after Jesus' business. You want people who are running after their job and going, dude, I want to make disciples everywhere I go. I want to be a light everywhere I go. I want people to know Jesus everywhere we go. And those kind of people are like Paul, like, and what are you doing? You want to come with me? We all need friendships that bother us and inconvenience us with crazy ideas that freak us out, but advance the message of Jesus. Isn't it so lame? I mean, dude, Call of Duty is great and everything, but you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're not a warrior. Like, you're just a thumb pad warrior. You know what I mean? But it makes you feel like a warrior. Like, dude, I'm a Navy SEAL. Still got 90 guys. Man, dubs all night. But then when you're reflecting on your year, you're like, what did I do this year? I used my thumbs to get other guys who were using their thumbs, and I yelled a lot on the mic, and everyone told me to keep being quiet. I'm trying to sleep. Versus you're running with friends who are running after something real. We're like, you can go, what did you do in 2026? And you go, I did this, 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 and this. Or like when you're walking away from something, there's something tangible going on. Who are you running with and what are you running after? Now, a lot of the studies in Gen Z say this, that Gen Z is higher in loneliness than older generations. There's greater friendship anxiety. There's shifting patterns of connection. Technology, COVID jacked us up, institutional decline, there's kind of an identity shift, like where everyone's trying to figure out more who they are and how they fit together. And the problem is this has created a loneliness epidemic. Some experts literally call Gen Z the loneliest generation because they spend less time socializing with each other than any other generation compared to them. Not only that, but there's also like this meaning deficit. It says that half of Gen Z feels like this confusion. Less than half of Gen Z feels a sense of meaning and purpose in their life, and they're dominated by confusion. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then even worse is 53% of the generation goes, I'm uncertain of who I really even am. So I don't really know who I'm running with. I don't know really what I'm running after, and I'm not sure who I really am. Well, let me just simplify this. Why this is, and my belief is this, is that the world's dominant narrative is life is about you. Life is about you. And so you're looking for friendships that are going to fulfill you. And you're looking for something that's going to give you meaning. And you're looking for an identity that fits and feels how you feel. But when you discover the gospel, you realize that the purpose of your life is not you, it's other people. And the way to get really great friends is not to focus on what they're doing for you, but to focus on what you're doing for them. And that your identity is not about what you think it is, it's about who God says you are. See, the more that we're focused on ourselves, dude, the more lonely you're going to be, the more purposeless you're going to feel, and the more confusion you're going to have over your identity. But when you actually lift your eyes off of yourself and you put them on Jesus, he's going to lead you to other people. He's going to lead you to actually serving other people is where you're going to find your purpose. And check this out. Quit trying to figure out who you were because you were created. You were designed. I know. Jesus is like, you don't need to figure it out. I already figured it out. I made you. Now, for all of us, this is way easier said than done. I think a lot of times when we talk about friendship, we'd rather talk about subjects that are more abstract. We'd rather talk about like more deeper, like really spiritual things. Like, you know, let's really get into the depth and the principles of how God's sovereignty works in our everyday life. It's an important subject. Don't get me wrong. Love it. We'll figure it out. Someone will figure it out. Maybe none of us will figure it out. But I think friendship hits home because it's not something that you can just abstract in your mind. It's something that confronts your everyday reality. See, I think that subjects in scripture that cause us and force us to look at our life and decide, am I going to change? Am I going to actually have to act different? See, I like sermons where I just have to go, wow, that's cool. I'm encouraged. Sometimes I don't like sermons. I go, oh man, I have to change how I'm operating. I have to do something differently. I have to examine my life. I need to evolve how I'm acting. And so tonight what we want to look at is 9 one another's in the New Testament. This is from a woman named Sue Harville. She organized these different one another commands of how we're supposed to interact together as believers. And she put them in 4 different categories. And we're going to tackle one of these tonight. And I want to start with this one, which is the most basic one. It is the basis of all friendship. It's to love one another. John 13:34 says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is what Christian friendship is all about, loving somebody else. And the problem with this word love in the New Testament is it has nothing to do with wonderful emotions. What this is a cross-shaped love, an action-oriented love, a self-sacrificial love, an other-focused love. See, if you want to have meaningful relationships, then you need to understand love. And love is not about feeling just something special. It's about doing something amazing. It's about looking at someone saying, you know what, you are more important to me in my mind, and I'm going to serve you right now. I'm going to love you right now. I'm going to choose to be there for you right now. And not just when they deserve it, but when they don't deserve it. Francis Schaeffer says that loving one another is the final apologetic, meaning this, it is the final word that literally tells the world that we are Christians. This is why I think meeting a grumpy Christian is literally the worst. How many of you have met a mean Christian before? You can raise your hand. How many of you would be so honest and go, you have been that mean Christian on a day or two somewhere? I have for sure. But have you ever met a leader, someone you respected, maybe a group of Christian friends, and they were nicer than you thought? Have you ever been like sussed out and like, are they for real? Like, is this for real? And then you meet them, you're like, wow, they're for real. Like, this is not a joke. They are for real. Like, they act this way on stage, off of stage, at home, with their friends, at work. They live like this all of the time. See, when you meet someone like that, and when the world sees someone like that, they are attracted. Can I tell you how many people over the years have made fun of me for being a loving person? Nick, you're so fake. So fake, bro. Like, that's what they say, only for a couple months later, privately. Bro, what's going on in your life, man? I need some of that. It's because the natural inclination of the world when they see love is to go, oh, that's fake. That's not for real. Because the world's love is transactional. I'm going to be great for you if you're great for me. I'm going to like you if you like me. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. But Christian love is this. I love you, I'm for you, I'm going to serve you. No strings attached. Well, are they going to serve me? What if they're a narcissistic friend? I guess I'm going to love them until they learn how to love too. Well, they're insecure and they always talk about themselves. That's awesome. I was insecure and used to talk about myself. Then Jesus loved me so much, now I talk about him. So now I'm going to show him Jesus' love until he falls in love with Jesus and he talks about Jesus, and then we'll go love more people. This is what loving one another looks like. Now, to really get at this for a moment, the problem with this, the problem with friendship is that every one of your friends that you meet are going to be imperfect. All of your friends are going to have a fatal flaw. All of your friends are going to have something that you're like, oh, dang, you get mad. Or, oh, wow, you are terrible at texting. Or, gosh, your music taste is really special. Like, that is very unique. Or, wow, you said this is your favorite restaurant. This is crazy, bro. Wow, really, we need to expand your palate. All of us are going to have friends that are not perfect. But this is what sets Christians apart is that we don't just love people who are imperfect. We ante up that love. Tertullian, who's an early church father in the second century, said this is what all of the non-Christians would say about their churches. Behold, how these Christians love each other, how ready they are to die for each other. We're not talking about just being nice. We're talking about unreasonable love for people. Christian friendship isn't about unreasonable love for other people. Doing things that make you look goofy to make the other person feel good. How many of you have figured out sometimes that other people receive love differently than how you give love? Who's figured that out yet? Who wants someone to figure that out for you? And sometimes when you love somebody in a way that you don't normally love somebody, you feel kind of weird. Like, some of you love gifts. Who likes gifts in here? You're like, man, I want a present. Give me a present. I'm stoked for a present. Give me a gift. And you love giving gifts, but then you get a friend and they're a words of affirmation person. How many of you love a word of affirmation? You love some encouragement. And you're like, hey, I bought you this. It's amazing. Look what I got you. Spent $129 right here, door screws, for you. And they're like, thanks, man. Really appreciate that. Thanks, man. I This is one day of labor for me. Let me try again. It's 3 hours of picking this out for you. And you wish it was like a Jimmy Darts video, like they're weeping, like, thank you so much. This changed my life. I've always wanted this shirt. And then you become friends a little bit later, like, hey, bro, like, what I really want for you is just tell me I'm doing a good job. And you're like, oh, I don't talk like that. I don't talk in that way. That's, like, weird. Like, bro, we're bros. Like, just kind of go, yeah, man, that's all I say. Like, we know, right? No, I don't know. Where are you? You're doing a great job. Like, I just, and all of a sudden, it's this unreasonable love. You go, you know what? Forget my comfort level right now. Here's your gift. But the reason I wanted to give you this gift is I so appreciate you as a friend. Literally, I'm so thankful you're in my life. You're such a loyal friend. You're so kind. You're so outward focused. I look up to you. You look up to me. I'll never admit that again, but I'm telling you right now, between you and I, bro, I look up to you. Whoa. That's amazing. Unreasonable love. How epic. Make this the dream of your life. Can you find friends you'd be willing to die for? Not just like, bro, I die for you. But literally, if they're gutted, you're gutted. If everything's falling apart for them, you're there. If you gotta step up and help their family, you're the first one knocking on the door saying, I'm here in your moment of need. John 15, greater love has no one than this to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Dude, I love this so much. This is basically, by the way, what marriage is one day when you get married. Tim Keller talks about it's gospel reenactment. Daily laying your life down for your partner. You're like, wait, aren't they there to help me? Yes. But that's their job. Your job is to lay your life down for them. 50-50, right? Nope. 100-100. Actually, 100 even if they're zero. If they're 50. 100 if they're 80. Right? This is friendship in the Christian paradigm. Now, marriage, you can't end that friendship. But other ones, you know. No, I'm just messing. But here's the tension. This is, I think, our obsession sometimes when we think about friendships. I want to be happy and I want to have fun. How many of you legitimately get worried if you're going to have fun on a weekly basis? Can I just do a little hand raise? Where are you? I know you're out there. I talk to you all the time. I'm like, what's really going on? I'm not sure if I'm going to have fun. Well, can't you plan fun? Well, not really. I'm like, yes, you can. You can plan. You can decide to have fun. Do you want to be happier looking for relationships that are going to make you feel a certain way? But Adam Grant, he's a sociologist. He talks about like this. You cannot find happiness running directly at it. So the more like you pursue happiness, right, the more you pursue self-fulfillment, typically the less fulfilled you're going to feel. Now, he's stealing this from the Bible. This is Jesus' point. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. See, how you think you're going to get a great relationship is not actually how you're going to get a great relationship. I actually think we romanticize friendships. We just see it like, dude, you're going to see somebody. You're going to be like, yo, what's up? And they're like, yo, what's up? We like the sports, same sports team? Yep. I'm an ENTJ. Dope. I'm an INTP. Whoa. Fire. I like politics. You like politics. Let's argue for an hour. Best friends. We kind of just think it's going to happen. It's kind of like the same with dating. Like, we're just kind of like, it's just going to happen. If you talk to anyone, just going to, boom, God's just going to bring her to you. Just, you're just there, Taco Bell, eating your two tacos, and all of a sudden, God's just like, here she is. It's not going to happen. We underestimate how much work goes in to building the friendships we want. Look at your neighbor and say, work. And here's the problem. It's uncomfortable work. It's going to require effort. Building great friendships require discomfort, tension, and showing up for people. In other words, being inconvenienced. Now, I watched a couple like Gen Z-ish YouTubers try to like psychoanalyze friendship in Gen Z. Here's some of their points. You can tell me if you agree or don't agree. Or maybe don't yet agree, but when I'm done, you may agree. They say one of the classic signs of friendships that always are going wrong is that when there's conflict, we typically, that's when the end of a relationship begins. We kind of ghost each other. So you're friends until your first worst moment. Like we're in this, man. We're up to Jesus. Oh, wow. You just yelled at me in the parking lot. This is over, bro. I got boundaries. Right? Then you add on to that, all of us have become therapists. You don't need to go to school anymore. You just need to watch TikTok. Right? Notice, like, in the bio, narcissist expert. No credentials. They just made that up. That's like saying organic. It's not organic. They just put it on there for advertising. Some of us are so armed with, like, psychology. I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. Grandma, sociopath. I've always known she was one. All the signs are there. Look, WebMD, ChatGPT. Am I right, chat? Great insight, Nick. Your grandma most likely is a sociopath. You're like, when like your grandma's like one of the nicest people around, you just disagree with her. Oh man, that person's holding you back, man. Cut them off. Cut them off, man. They're narcissists, man. They only care about themselves. Or how about this? They're insecure. They need some affirmation. They need a hug. Their brain is not literally wired where they don't care about anyone. They are not a psychopath. They're just a human. Sorry, I got so quiet. Status friendships, where people are not included all of life. You just have certain friends for certain parts of your life. For like status, like you go with Jim Bro to the gym to get clout in the gym, but you don't invite Jim Bro to this part of your life. You do it with that friend. You got like Newport friend for when you want to have fun on the beach, but Newport friend doesn't ever get the Temecula invite. Temecula friend does. And you kind of have like these compartmentalized transactional relationships. You see this with like influencers. Some influencer, just, I gotta be honest, dude, some stuff on the internet is just like fake. It's just so crazy it's fake. They're like pretending to be friends and having fun. And you're like, this is so crazy. Like you're talking so weird. Like how can you be friends like this? What's up guys? Today we're out here and you're like, this is so, like, did you even get coffee before? Do you know each other's stories? Or did you see the follower count and your follower count and the collab made sense so you can both grow? And the problem is that the loneliness grows because everything is about being transactional. What you can get from a relationship and self-protected, that you don't want to experience any of the negatives of friendship. Now, here's my caveat. I'm not commenting on truly abusive people. Like if you are under threat of harm, if you are being constantly bullied and demeaned, if you're around somebody that is not a safe person, I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is that a lot of us, we have to break free of some of these generational ways of thinking about friendship because they're fake. And if you adopt them, you're never going to have friends. Because you're like dreaming of this person who does not exist. I have had all kinds of coaching, all kinds of inner healing, all kinds of self-awareness. And you know what? I still mess up. You can go to counseling for 10 years and still mess up. You can be an integrated person and really be great most of the time, but chances are you still are going to fail. See, we don't realize that if you want close friends, you get ready for war. Get ready for some conflict. Get ready for some tension. Get ready for some hard conversations. And then get ready to have so much fun But you can't just adopt one part of it. You got to bring all of it in. One study at the University of Kansas, they measured how long it took for college students to go from acquaintances to casual friends. It took 43 hours of hanging out. For adults, it was 94 hours. To move from casual friends to friends, it took 57 hours. And then adults, though, needed 164 hours. For students, friends become good or best friends after 119 hours together. And adults needed 219 hours to make that happen. See, if you want friendships, you're going to have to embrace discomfort and being inconvenienced. I literally was watching this TikTok, and this girl was like, how dare my friends call me and trauma dump on me? Don't they know what time of day it is? And I'm like, that's what friends do. They call when things are not going good to talk to someone. Hey, man, I just need to like verbally process for 20 minutes. Thank you. And all you need to do was listen. That's what people need. And number two, you got to show up for people. You got to get in people's lives. You're discouraged after three in and out hangs. Well, dude, you are 6 hours into the 43 hours to become casual friends. No wonder you don't feel connected. Check this out. You know what's really going to do it? You're going to have to hang out all day one day. How many of you have done the all day hangout? It's awkward, right? It's awkward. Like, it's fun the first hour, and then hour five, you're at lunch, and like, you don't have things to talk about anymore. You're like, man, so glad we're doing this. Santa Monica, crazy, right? Yeah. LA's really, really taking a turn. I don't know what's, yeah, it's awesome. Oh, you love it. No, I mean, turn up. It's going good. It's going good. Tell me about your story. Oh, you already told me this morning. Yeah, your story. Your story's amazing, man. You like sports? You hate sports. Awesome. You like meat? You're a vegan. Wow. You like Jesus? Okay, we like Jesus. All right. We got something to work with right now. You got to realize that, dude, the friendships you're looking for on the other side of you putting yourself out there. Some road trips to Joshua Tree. Some of you don't like coffee, but dude, Christians love coffee. It just is what it is. Some of you are like me. Me and my children, I'm like, I don't need no coffee. I drink energy drinks, Red Bull, man. Latte, flatte, I don't need none of that. Dude, just go over there. That's where they are. It's not about the coffee. It's about being near another human being. Your friend invites you over for some crazy game night. I don't like games. Do you like being alone? Let's all go to a baseball game. I hate baseball. And I just want to just look at you like a kind older brother and go, do you want friends? It's $19, the Anaheim Angels games. Get in the car, drive over there, stand there with popcorn, and talk to the individual next to you. It's not about the baseball game. It's about the people in your life. It's right after Monday nights, you should not be like, after worship, we're like, amen. Some of you just be sprinting to skip traffic. I'm like, where are you going? The 2 minute backup at the light right here is going to kill you? I got work early in the morning. You're not going to bed when you get home. You're going to be episode 3 of some random show that you're going to be repenting of watching later. You should have got in your car and drove to Chick-fil-A and ate a Chick-fil-A sandwich and sat there across someone you don't know and just go, I have social anxiety. Great, we all do. Get over it. Talk about it. It's going to be okay. Now, if you have real diagnosed social anxiety, there's treatments and help for you. But I mean that. Like, I get it. I'm tracking with you. I got my own issues. But my point is like that most of us use these terms and all you're saying is I get nervous because I don't know what I'm going to say next. Dude, man, I was so awkward a lot of my life. Maybe still am. No one will tell me. I'm not sure. I don't remember my first date with my wife. I wrote down every question on my notes, on my... But you know what? I went on a date, and it worked out, and I'm married. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I feel the love. Words of affirmation pouring over me. All right, now we're going to crush through these. These are 9 one another's that I want you to think about and grab a few of these that maybe stick out to you. Now the keys for a one another, the key to a great friendship is both people have to agree that this is going to be their culture. Like a real godly friendship doesn't work unless me and Zach both agree, hey, this value, we're both going to live. Like my wife and I, we have rules. And if we violate those rules in our relationship, we're always wrong. So one of those is I call it Italian mode for her. And it's my German background on this side. And the volume begins to rise. We just go, that is not allowed in our house. It doesn't matter what the other person did, how annoying, what they said. We cannot raise our voice at each other. Now, we failed that a few times. But when we come back, we go, yo, that's not our value. I take complete responsibility for that. I should never yell like that. And I take full responsibility. Not, hey, I'm sorry for yelling, but you triggered me, man. That's not a real value. You got a workaround. You got a loophole. You need to have values that don't have loopholes in your life. Where your friends go, hey, this is not how we roll. And you go, you know what? You're right. It doesn't matter how stressful your morning was. It doesn't matter that you got no money in your bank account. It doesn't matter that they triggered you. It doesn't matter. You have to go, this is not how we roll. My bad. Full stop. How many of you want to say sorry, but you always want to be understood when you say sorry? How many of you do that? So many of us do it. I do it. Hey, I want you to know I'm super sorry I didn't show up for you, but I was so stressed that day. Literally, I just want you to know I was so stressed. Like, my heart showed up for you. My body did not. How many have ever received an apology like that? I'm sorry, but apology. How many have ever received that? How many were like, man, that meant the world to me. Thank you so much. You yelled at me, but you had a bad day. Oh, that just makes it so much better. You said I was a complete loser and no one loved me. That resolved it. Thank you for telling me that you had a bad day when you said that. Now, you got to have values in your life that you cannot cross. You got to have a personal culture. You got to have rules to your friendship. The first one is you got to love one another. We already talked about it. But you got to make love, serving one another, the basis for the relationship. I'm not in this relationship to get something. I'm in this relationship to give something. Number 2, the Bible commands us in Romans 15:7 to accept one another just as Christ accepted you. This is what I love about Jesus. There are no cliques with Jesus. How many of you read that moment where like you knew you weren't supposed to get invited to something, but someone said it in front of you? So now like, oh yeah, like tonight. Yeah. Oh, bro, I don't know how we missed the text to you. And you're like, you're kind of putting 2 and 2 together. Yeah, it's tonight. You know, only if you're free. I mean, you know, you might be busy. Like, do you not want me to come? Like, why didn't you tell me? No, see, what I love about Jesus is everybody needs to be accepted. When people walk into a Monday night, it shouldn't be like, what's your vibe? Okay, go to that corner over there. That's where your kind vibes out over there. And you know what? Oh, this way. You like country music? Go this way. We quarantine you to the right side over here. This is where we want you. No, if you love Jesus, you need to have an eye for the outsider. Like every room you walk in as a Christian, your friendship circle should always be open. You cannot gatekeep your friendship circle in Jesus. You can't like show up with a new friend at the beach day and they're like, oh, hey man, great to see you. But you have to have a value that when people come into your life, you accept them. Because it's not about you, it's about them. And here's the thing, so many of us miss out on some of the most amazing people because we just straight up judge them. And then halfway through the beach day, we're like, I love this guy. Or you judge him for 2 hangouts and the 3rd hangout, somehow he shares a story. And then you're like crying and you're like, I'm a jerk. This person is amazing. One of your values has to be, I'm going to accept people regardless of who they are. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is not like, hey, like I would save you? But clearly you don't know how to dress. Elevate the wardrobe, then we can hang. But that's how shallow a lot of us are. Myself included. Like, I'm just trying to be honest for a minute. How many of you, let's just all get free together. You have straight up judged whether this could be a worthwhile friendship based on how they presented themselves and dressed. How many others besides me have done that? So many liars in here. This is insane. Like, we've all done it, man. We've all done it. We'd be like, I'm not sure. Your haircut's whack. But then all of a sudden, the dude with the wacky haircut is like your favorite person. And all of a sudden, you have their haircut. What happened? Like, this is what friendship does. Next one, number 3. Greet one another. 1 Corinthians 16:20. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now this is, don't get excited. This is not a new Monday. No, I'm going to press a lawsuit against you. All right, don't even. Stand back. All right. But what this was like a Mediterranean cultural greeting at that time. How many of you, like in Hawaii, you would meet certain aunties and they'd always be giving you a kiss on the cheek. Like that's just kind of, you go over, I remember the first time. I just moved to Hawaii for a year. And I walked to my friend's house and the mom comes out and she's like, hello, you must be Nick. And they kissed me in the cheek and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Too much aloha. Like this is not my vibe. This is a cultural thing. This is not our culture, by the way. But what this means is you need to say hello to people. Church sometimes acts more like a crowd than a community. I'm not trying to show shade. I'm just trying to be honest. Like, how many of you have gone to church and you, like, the person next to you, you're like, and you walk out. This other person is there to worship Jesus. You're there to worship Jesus. Part of being a good friend is going, hi, I am Nick. Who are you? All of us have to not be too cool for school. We got to be that guy that just walks up to people. Yo, what's up? I've never seen you here on Monday nights. Welcome. Why are you saying hi to me? Because I'm a Christian. I welcome individuals when they walk in. How many of you have ever gone to a house party? You walked in and everyone was like, and they went back to their conversation. And you literally felt like a junior higher had just been rejected on the dance floor. And you're just like, there's no hope for my life. Like, this is the kind of stuff. All of us need to learn how to greet each other with a smile. Everyone smile at me. Some of y'all look angry sometimes. I'm like, yo, what's up? You're like, this is a church gathering. Like, don't be hard. Like, there's nothing to be, it's not a David Goggins moment. Like, what do you, like, it's just like, we're about to worship Jesus. We're saved. We're happy. We're joyful. Say hello to someone, high five, hug, pound, elbow, whatever it is. Wave from a distance, social distance if you're a germaphobe. Do something to acknowledge another human's presence. Number 4, have the same care for one another.
Now, 1 Corinthians, what Paul's talking about, there's different parts of the body, and that some parts of the body are not like very cool. They're not like famous, or you don't necessarily want to be like them. You don't want that job. And he's saying, hey, treat everybody equally, no matter what their job is in the body. Don't treat the guy preaching differently than you teach the guy saying hello, or the guy stacking a chair, or the guy doing a sound. Everybody needs to be equally celebrated for their contribution to the mission of Jesus. And they need to share concern. That means that if you're not famous, not cool, have no status in the group, as Christians, we have to have the same concern for you as someone that maybe we look up to and have concern for them. Meaning we got to be there for each other. Somebody can't write in the, this happens to me all the time. Someone writes in the group chat like, yo, this terrible thing just happened in my life. And it gets like a heart. I'm like, there's 17 people in this chat and no one is replying. Praying for you, thinking of you. Do you need anything? It's just like, what is going on? What are friends for is if we're in the worst moments of our life and you're like, hey, I have a relative in the hospital. And they're like, thumbs up. That sucks, bro. No, share some concern. Get into their life. What is, dude, how can I be there for you? Dude, how can we pray for them? How can I support you right now? Number five, submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Putting it very simply is this, is that both of us are going to have the fear of God. And we're going to have the fear of God over each other's relationship. Meaning I'm going to be for you and you're going to be for me. And I'm going to be for you even at my own expense. I mean, I'm so committed to who you are and where you're going. I'm going to serve you even if it's to my detriment. I'm going to give you opportunities, push you through open doors, even if I can't go with you. That mutually submitted relationship is that both of us are here, not till one of us makes it, but we're both here for each other through the ups and downs of life. Number six, wait for one another. What's happening in 1 Corinthians here in chapter 11 is basically all these rich guys are showing up early to take communion, and all of the poor members of the church had to work late, and so they would come, and by the time they would get there, literally everyone had eaten all the food and they're kind of left out. It's another moment saying, hey, you can't treat people with different status. When you come into this place, whether you're rich or poor, whether your family's healthy or broken, whether you feel confident or insecure, all of us have to come together. And we have to live in such a way to make room for everybody to have access to Jesus. Everybody to have access to love. Everybody to have access for grace. It's not for those who have something to give. It's for everybody. Number seven, bear with one another. Ooh. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The Greek literally means this, to put up with something annoying. Do you? Like, I don't. I like when people do it for me, but I don't like doing it for others. Part of Christian relationships is literally putting up with the annoying behaviors of other people that they most likely won't change. Do you want to know one of the things that I do that's really annoying? Go for it. Thank you for the permission. As I hum. Everyone knows in my house that I hum so loud, like reverberates through walls. Hey, dude, can you stop humping? Yeah, no problem. Minute later. Oh, yeah, my bad. My whole life, like, dude, you talk way too loud. I'm like, I do, you're right. Use your indoor voice. No problem. Is this better? Like, I don't know if it's a hearing issue. I don't know. There's going to be things that, dude, if you're friends with someone, that's just what's going on. Some of your friends are going to tell long stories till the day they die. This morning I woke up at 9 a.m. and I had this thought, came into my mind. What is my first grade teacher doing right now? And then I was like, what am I thinking? And I went into the bathroom and I brushed my teeth and I was thinking, Colgate? Is this good for my teeth? Should I be using the charcoal stuff? Anyway, what were we talking about? They're just going to do that the rest. Some of you are going to have friends that call you for no reason till they die. What's up? What are you doing? Nothing. Why'd you call me? I don't know. What's up? What are you doing? You're going to have friends who chew with their mouth open, friends who take food from you without asking. That's a tough one, man. But here's the deal. Some of your friends, you have to bear with people that is worse than that. You go, dude, you got a little bit of a temper, and they repent for it, and they're working on it, but it's not perfect. Or one of your friends gets a little snooty, a little passive-aggressive, a little emotionally manipulative, maybe a little bit like shutting down. Like, how many of you have a powder in a friend? You know, like, you don't really change your children. Like, what you did as a kid, you just kind of do it a little bit more respectably as an adult. So, like, and when you're a kid, you're like, I'm going to my room. And as an adult, you're like, I'm going home, guys. We're doing the same stuff. You're yelling at your mom. No, no. Now you're 23 years old. You're like, you're wrong, bro. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Are you stupid? Are you stupid? Like, it's 2 year old you, but now there's just 22. You look older, but it's still the same problems, right? You're going to have, you want to be friends with a human. Chances are they're going to be doing this kind of goofy behavior. Now, but here are the next two keys to this. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. See, if you're going to be in a real deal relationship, you're going to have to repent. Like, there is no way you can be a good friend and not, I don't know, depending how old you are, solid 5 to 10 times a year, come back to the squad and go, dudes, that was out of line. My bad. I pouted for 2 days and I ghosted all of you. That is not cool. I could have replied, love you guys. I didn't need to turn my location off. And then just reappear again. Don't be the friends that sweep everything under the rug. Be the friends who talk about it, who repent, who own when they're out of line. Who own when they've done something that's hurt a friend. And finally, so key, forgive one another. You're going to have to forgive one another. And here's what forgiveness looks like. You got to cancel the debt. It's like giving up the right to bring it up again. You can't be the passive-aggressive friend who goes, like, then a year later, like, you remember that night? Yeah, I remember. And I'm sick of you about some things. You're sick of me? I'm sick of you. No, forgiveness is, I'm giving up the right to bring this up again. I'm canceling it. Dude, just like Jesus, he's washed away my sins. I'm going to wash away your sin on this, man. Thank you for that repentance. I'm going to give you another chance. Right? The disciples go, how many times do I got to forgive someone? 70 times 7. 70 times 7? That's how many times I have to forgive someone? Yes. Dude, you are going to need to forgive people if you want to have godly friendships in your life. But can I tell you the joy of friendships where I was with them in their lowest of lows, they are with me in my lowest of lows, and they are with me in my highs as well? The best moments of my life? I was thinking about some stories of friendship this morning and this evening and just kind of talking to my wife, and a few came out, and I'm going to end on this. The band can come up. I was thinking about a friend. The first one that came to mind for some reason was a friend named Craig Ambler. And my dad had just passed away. My whole family were at my mom's house. And I didn't know Craig really well. He was a friend of my dad's and my mom's. And I remember we're all in there and we're all just kind of like, this is crazy. Like, we didn't expect this. Like, our dad passed away and we're just kind of in shock. And I remember a knock at the door and I was like so surprised. And I remember Craig is just over there knocking on the door. And I'm like, that's my dad's friend, Craig. Like, and he comes and I forget what he was bringing, some kind of gift and chocolates or fruits or something. I don't even remember what it was. And he came in and just wanted to know how we were all doing and loved on us and encouraged us. And we hung out for a little bit. And then he went home and he kept checking us and kept loving us. And I was like, and now we're amazing friends. And I was like, man, that's the kind of friend I want to be. I want to be a reasonable friend. I want to be so in the lowest of life that I do this to my friends. I call them until they pick up. Do not disturb. Oh, that's just a challenge for me. Oh, I'll call twice. I'll text you. I'll fake an emergency, get you on the phone. Bro, about to lose my leg. Pray for me. Are you okay? Ring. I'm fine. I lied. What are you doing right now? I want to be a friend who unreasonably shows up for people. I was talking to Lauren Uriah. This is a while ago. She's an OG in our crew. And sometimes my friends will tell me stories that I did when I was in my early 20s. And I like cringe. I can't even believe I did those things. I was like, I said that? I was like, wow, thank God no one filmed me. That's terrible. I was such a mean person. And she told me one day we were sitting in a meeting and we were talking about an idea for a campus outreach. And we're all going back and forth ideating. And I just stopped the meeting and looked her in the eyes and said, that is the worst idea I've ever heard anyone say out loud. Something like that. And I just moved on like everything was normal. And she was like, Nick, like that was so uncalled for and so intense. And I was like, oh, man. But I remember all those same friends at my wedding and them beginning to encourage me, all the things they loved about me. And I'm like really feeling the love. I'm having this moment like, dude, all of these friends saw me at my worst, saw me in my immaturity, saw me with no filter. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to lead. I didn't know how to work well on the team. And now they're all here. And they fought for me all those years, and I've become a healthier and whole person. I'm cringing, literally. I've been changed so much by Jesus and all their love. I'm cringing at how I used to act. Thank God they didn't give up on me and write me off. Thank God they didn't ghost me. Thank God they didn't say, you know, this is over. Thank God that they kept showing up and going, you know what? Nick is way intense. It's okay. He's just very passionate about the mission. We're going to help him figure it out. I remember Zach over here, my buddy Zach Nash. He showed up, I think it was with Chase. I was about to have my first baby, and they showed up, and they must have saved, like, everyone here is a missionary, so everyone's raising their own support, and they showed up with this, like, Breville espresso machine to my house. And they're like, dude, you're about to become a dad. I'm going to celebrate you, and you're going to need the caffeine. Here you go. And I'm just sitting, like, just undone by this extra. I'm like, they can't afford this. This is crazy. They just gave me, I'm still, dude, I used that thing twice today. Two Americanos. Thank you, Zach. But you know what? It marked me. I'm glad I have friends in my life who hopefully I've been there for them, but then they've also shown up for me and done extravagant things. I was thinking about Matt Nelson over here. Matt has known me since I was a little kid. Matt and I like lead Circ Riders together with some others. And literally he has memories of me as like a child, but he treats me as a peer now. I was just thinking about what kind of crazy friendship is that? He used to babysit me and now we're working together and he's treating me like I'm a leader. He's treating me like I'm a peer when, dude, this guy, just a little clout for him, he's an award-winning chaplain in the military. He's got a doctorate degree. He acts like I have insights into marriage or kids. I only got two kids. They're barely, one's 2.5 is the oldest one. He's got incredible kids, an amazing marriage. And I'm looking at all of these amazing friends in my life. And when I see all of these friends, I go, this is who I want to be as well. See, when you live selflessly and pursue Jesus, and you really serve other people, you're going to end up doing things that you never thought were possible. You're going to end up having memories you never thought you would have. You're going to end up having a really simple day, and it's the best day because of who you were in. But you don't get a friend by texting going, hey, I want to run with you, bro. Let's be best friends. And that's a little forward, you know? It's kind of like bringing up marriage in the early dates. Like, God's been speaking to me. God just spoke to me. Get out! You know, like that's... No, it looks like, yo, grabbing three guys, grabbing three ladies, showing up to Men Who Lead, show up to a Brave Love Women, and going, dudes, what are you guys doing Saturday? Let's all hang. What are we going to do? And you got to push the awkwardness, like, I got some things going on. Oh, what do you got going on? Well, nothing. Let's all hang. Where do we go? Let's just go to the Huntington Beach Pier, get some ice cream, and we'll figure it out from there. So my challenge over the next number of weeks as we come together is this. Don't just come and hear these and go, that's cool. Like, that's who I want to be. No, make a decision. This is who I'm going to be. Internalize these principles. If you have a friendship group, bring them to a Monday night. Leave here. Go in and out and go, dude, those principles, what are our rules of how we're going to fight for each other? Like, if we cross these, like, dude, some of you maybe during this series, you have friends that you let them go, but God didn't want you to let them go. You got to answer an unread text and just, dude, have the conversation, repent together, come back to Jesus, serve each other. Some of you need to show up to some people's with a crazy gift. Some of you need to send a text and just call someone on a Friday morning because it's an off day and say, what are you doing tonight? These next 5 weeks are about initiation. It's about action. It's not just about committing, like, I will be a good friend and just hoping it happens. No, we don't want to be a crowd on Monday night. We want to be a community. And we don't want to be a community of forced friends. We want to be a community of friends. I want this room to be so interconnected. Like, literally, you're like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, dude, you got to talk to that person. Like, dude, that person, they love doing this. And they, dude, that's the pickleball dudes? Oh, yeah, they're over there. I went one time. Literally, we'll never go again. But, like, it was awesome. You should go with them. You like surfing? I got a whole surf squad. Got to, like, let me connect you right now in text. And then you get in the group text. You're like, yo, who are you? Not, like, not acknowledging you. You're like, hi, guys. Hello? Like, no. We got to be those people who greet each other, love each other, include each other, sacrifice for each other, show up for each other, serve one another. So we all stand together. All right. One action step. Here it is. Everyone bust out your phone. Bust out your phone. You don't have to scan anything. Don't worry. Scan your face. Like, you don't have to do it. All right. Open your notes. Here we go. We're going to do something really simple. We're going to underachieve together. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to underachieve. Some of us, we're making those crazy gym workout plans, and then we're so sore day three, we stop going to the gym. We just want to do something. We just want to go to the gym and just kind of walk on the treadmill. That's all we're trying to do right now. Nothing fancy. I want you to write down one person in your life that you want to intentionally initiate with this week. You're going to text them. You're going to call them. You're going to check on them. And you're going to initiate a hangout. I know, it's that simple. And if it's already planned, doesn't count. It has to be something you initiated. You can't be like, all the boys get together every Saturday night. Too late. You can't do it. Doesn't count. Now you can't do Saturday nights. You got to do Sunday morning. Bunch of us go to a bunch of local churches around here. Dude, you should text someone and go, yo, thinking about you, want to go to church with me this week? Let's get brunch afterwards. Be the brunch person. Just do it. $22 pancakes, who cares? Just do it this one time. All right, you write somebody down? All right, now check with your neighbor. Now accountability. So now look at your neighbor and go, did you do it? Did you do it? All right, we're going to worship. Here's what I want you to do. As your last action step, I want you to walk in the room towards someone you don't know, and I want you to greet them and say, I just want you to practice. I'm going to go worship down there. Do you want to come with me? Just like practice meeting someone. Go ahead, just go find someone that you don't know and say, what's up? My name is, I'm going to worship. We should worship by each other. Go ahead, just do something normal. Go meet somebody. What? All right, Jesus, we thank you for friendship. We love you. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.